It's certainly good to be here today. I wanted to be with you back when you mourned the loss of Brother Granville. I had planned on it since I'd heard it, but wasn't able to make it at the last. I was coming down the road this morning thanking God for a nice cool day. It was 53 at home. That's about my speed, believe it or not. The only thing any better would be 50. And thanking Him for the scenery and the hills and all the little animals. I was talking to my son. He was on the way to work, and we were talking as I was driving down. And I saw a chicken, and then another chicken, and another chicken. I'm thinking, what keeps him from coming out in the road? But they didn't. Anyway, it's good to be here, and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. So now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And while coming down the road with those other things that I mentioned, I asked him over and over again for a text to bring something to mind. And this popped in my mind immediately thereafter. And I trust that it is of him. We live in a world that is exceedingly all right, but it's exceedingly wicked. Yeah. And they're going further and further away from the things that pertain to God. And I read not too long ago of the 100th anniversary of the organization of the Black Rock Church, and they talked about how that the membership was waning. But the man that wrote it said not to worry. It had waned and come up and waned and come up. And it does that all the time, according to him, at least in those days. We were talking this morning about that. I remember going to one of the churches down in Bassett, Virginia, and it was a big church, and then there was a big, I don't know if it's Presbyterian, I don't know what it was, but they shut down their meeting on the day that the old Baptists held their association because there was nowhere to park. And they had huge parking lots. But the place was crowded. Sometimes they had one in preaching and one out in the yard preaching. But anyway, everything that we say, think, or do, or want, or desire, or need, or just want, is in the name of God. He said he wouldn't leave himself without a witness. I see many witnesses here today. Amen. But he said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Many times, as we travel through this low ground of sin and sorrow, we have many wants and some needs, but mostly wants, I suppose. But we're talking today about one that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I want go through all of it, but I have in my life, just a few months from 80, I have had many problems, many desires, and many things that I went to God for. And I can stand here and tell you that some of them undoubtedly were answered. Just like sitting singing hymns this morning, several times the tears came to the eyes when we're singing about the goodness and grace of Almighty God.
Amen.
Oftentimes we talk about Jesus, sweet Jesus, and I wanted him 5:13, but I couldn't work it in, and I decided to let the congregation do what they wanted to do. Because I had no other choice, really. But we sing to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ, and we do worship him, and we do recognize that he is our Lord and our Redeemer. But we must also remember that it was God that sent him.
Amen.
It was God that sent him. And it's the Spirit that comes to us. We were talking about being in the dark this morning out there. And I can't repeat what was said, but I couldn't if I could remember it. I could almost, but not quite. There's a couple words I couldn't get. Not up here anyway. But said, now unto him that is able. He is able. It doesn't matter what you think you can do. God has never sent someone to do something that he didn't equip him to do it.
Right.
I've told this story several times. Most of you have probably heard it, but there was a fellow down south, probably between here and where I came from. And he felt the call of the ministry. So he left. Went by horseback and walking and all across the country out west. And you know God is everywhere. That burden was still there. He couldn't escape that burden. So he decided, he remembered a big preacher. So he decided to go see him, talk to him. Maybe he could settle his mind. When he got there, the big preacher wasn't there. His wife was there, making the difference. Big house, he slept in the barn. That's the way we did things back in that former days. He waited for days and days and days. And finally, about the day before the big preacher got back home, God settled the issue. He didn't need no big preacher. He needed the preacher.
That's it.
Jesus Christ. That's what he needed. I mean, we can't save ourselves, so don't look to us for that. But anyway, he went on and accepted that burden. I'm reminded of many years ago reading where this poor, downtrodden fellow walked for miles and miles, days and days, to get to the big plantation where he was invited. But when he got there, he looked so ragged they wouldn't let him in.
Yeah.
He went down to what then was the slave quarters and preached to them. And they enjoyed it so much, they finally, one of them worked up the nerve to go up to see the lady of the house and say, he can really preach. Let him preach. And she wouldn't do it. Finally, she did. Later on, after a day or so, by time for him to go home. And as I read it, the preaching was sweet. To the point, and it talked about the salvation that's in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And you know, he cleaned up pretty good anyway once he had an opportunity. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Sometime in your wildest dreams, you might think of something. But I want to tell you that God is able to go exceedingly abundantly above that. Anything that you could think or ask. God blesses us in many ways that we don't even understand.
Amen.
You say, well, this disease that was following me is gone. Who do you think took it away? I told a couple of doctors 8 or 10 years ago that pretty much that all is well. And they looked at me like I was crazy, but you know you can say all is well if you know you're going to die.
Yeah.
If you know that you're going to be received into the presence of sweet Jesus and the Father God. It doesn't make any difference if you live or die. Paul said it was good to die, but needful to stay, to remain. But at any rate, I told them, all is well. What I meant was, I'm going to be well. I am going home. And when Dad was in the hospital, we thought he was getting well and going home, and he did, but he went to that one. He was in the end stages of Alzheimer's, but he was in the hospital because he had pneumonia. And I was there, 325 miles down the road in Virginia. I didn't even go to the hospital because he was doing so well. I was out there working on his house. But be that as it may, he went home. And they couldn't explain how they missed the fact that he quit breathing. It was that shift change. And they said he died about 12:30. Wouldn't you think the second shift would have at least looked? But be that as it may, we didn't ask for him to come back. We knew that he was better off than we were. Sometimes we have a hard time understanding that we weep and lament because one died. Don't weep for them, weep for yourself if you must weep. If that was a believer, they're in much finer condition than we are. You know that song, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I shall look upon the face of the one that saved me by his grace. That's where they are when they have passed on to yonder the world. But he can bless us exceedingly abundantly above all that we should ask or think by according to the power that worketh in us. Then it says, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. We come to raise his name up, to lift up his name above every name that's ever been named, realizing that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but realizing, if not deceived, that we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, kings and priests unto God, by the way. I've said this many times, but I've been at the hospital visiting people, and they talk about how poor they are, how weak they are, how worthless they are, but at the same time, they're sons and daughters of the Most High God, and kings and priests unto him. There is no low level for a child of God. He's in the line of inheritance from the God who created the universe and everything that therein is. He's made heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet people say, well, I'm nothing. Naturally, maybe. Spiritually, you can't get any more better.
Amen.
I mean, Jesus Christ, when he was born, he was not born to be a king. He was born a king.
Yeah.
A king indeed. And he still yet rules and reigns.
Amen.
Some say he's coming back to rule for 1,000 years. He's ruling right here now, if not totally deceived. He rules in the hearts and lives of his people. He causes his people sometime to be going the absolute wrong way. But he turns them back. He has the drawing cords of love. He can call his people back from anything that he wants to. He has the power and he uses that power. That's one thing that I like about talking about God. Not only does he have power, he uses that power.
Amen.
When Moses went down to the water's edge, he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." You know, Jesus went around healing all the sick, giving sight to the blind and hearing to the dumb. And then, can you do this? He can do anything he wants to. He went into the leopards. He healed the leopards. That was abundantly, exceeding abundantly, more than they could ask or think. A leopard, nobody can even come near them, let alone touch them and make them alive and make them well. Brethren, I want to tell you, leprosy, as far as I'm concerned today, is represented by sin. God Almighty has the power, as that song said, or the prayer of one or the other, make us white as snow. He has that power. He has that power. It's in 3:13, by the way. But he has that power. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us and make us alive. Nothing but the blood of Christ. But we find that the nation of Israel had but little trust in God. I mean, think about it seriously. All the miracles that he done, all the plagues he put on Egypt, all the destroying of their land, their cattle, and their firstborn, all those things that God done. And yet Israel out wandering around in the wilderness says, "Can God provide meat?" He took us out of Egypt. We were content eating all the fat of Egypt. Can God provide? He provided. Oh, yes, he did. He provided so much that while they were still eating, they were smitten down dead. You do not tempt my God. You do not, when he has shown his love and kindness for generations to the nation of Israel, you don't ask, can God do this or that? Again, God can do anything he wants. And a perfect example for that is the one standing here before you. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't think I needed God. Well, kind of sort of 30, 40, 50 years down the road, I think about that.
Sure.
Didn't take near that long. Didn't take near that long. But when God started working in this corrupt heart of mine, it was not enjoyable, to say the least. It was something very fearful. Afraid to live, afraid to die.
Yeah.
But yet, oh, how sweet was deliverance, this song. Deliverance shall surely come. Brethren, deliverance comes to all his people. Somewhere between conception and the grave, deliverance comes. He has that power. Think about it. He loved you enough to send Jesus Christ to hang between the heavens and the earth, to be crucified, to be smitten, to have a spear in his side, and to actually, physically, and fully die.
Amen.
Some say he just swooned and then he got up and opened up that rock. One man couldn't open that rock, save his soul, I don't think. I know a dead man couldn't raise it.
Yeah.
But I want you to know that the angel came and sometime a little earthquake to help along. Sent from God. Everything happened. The graves opened up after his resurrection, and the dead came to life. Brethren, when the dead comes to life, has been dead, I don't know how long, I'm not gonna make a, I think so. If it's not in the book, pretty much we leave it alone.
Amen.
One thing we know, they were dead, but we know they came to life, and we know they went into Jerusalem. Brethren, all the dead of God's shall go into that heavenly Jerusalem.
Amen.
In that great day.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, what a day that will be.
Amen.
Think about that. All these trials of earth and living amongst the wicked. Sometime with them. But finally to be at peace. You know, like I don't go to ball games because I can't stand them and I don't like them, but that's beside the point. If you was in the middle of a Coliseum and every one of them were sinless yet in sin, and you can sit there and praise God right in the midst of that. We know the world is at enmity with us. We know the world crucified our Master. We shouldn't expect to be highly favored with men, but we are highly favored with God.
Amen.
And I thank
you. Amen. Number one.